Oh, we got a smart youth pastor. Well, today we're doing a series. If you're new here today, we've been doing a series over the last few weeks called In the Zone. We're talking about today, we have a circular rug up here this morning, which we're symbolizing. Maybe you can or cannot see it where you're at. Some of you can, I know. But we're standing in the zone. And how many know that God has a place that he wants us to live in the zone? You say, why are you calling it in the zone? Because anytime you've ever done anything in your life where you shouldn't be doing it, and you just everything he touches turns to gold. How many know what I'm talking about? When you know, if you're at work, you seem like the boss, everything he does says, man, you're doing a great job. Excellent. If you're in sales, everybody walks through the door that day, you're selling them. You know, Paul, you're moving those trailers. You're like, man, this is it. This is the day. I don't have to try hard. This is happening. If you're, whatever you're doing, you're selling things, or maybe you're on the golf course and you're hitting the ball straight as an arrow, and you're like, man, this doesn't ever happen. And every putt you're making, every chip you're getting close. Today on the football field, there'll be quarterbacks that'll go for 12 in a row, 13 in a row, and the announcer will say, these guys are in the zone. They are hot. They are just living outside themselves. It's almost like an outer body experience because you don't normally live that way, but it's a sweet spot that you live in. And we know today God has designed for you and I to live in that state, a sweet spot of his success. Is there in the zone that God longs for you and I to live in when things happen that we can't explain? And things happen and we're just hot. Spiritually, we're hot, and things we do, we touch, are being blessed because we are living in the zone. So we're talking about, how do you do that? How do we learn to live the fullness of God's blessing in our life? And we're learning how to do this. Last week, we talked about what will you do with your Skittles? That question was asked. And this week, we're going to do part two. Last week, we was such a good sermon, even though we had rain falling down on top of our metal building, and it was hard to hear. And I know some of you had power outages and couldn't be here, and you can download that sermon on the internet, our website, and listen to that. But I'm going to give you a little bit of brief review today where we're at as we continue in this service. We talked about what would you do with your Skittles, and I shared a story about how my son Preston, when he's at a young age, how I bought him a bag of Skittles at Walmart. We're standing in the line, and I gave in, you know, something I don't usually do, but I gave in and bought him his bag of Skittles. And when we got to the car, I asked him for a Skittle, and that's what he did. He was such a spiritual son, just like his mom. He said, no! Just playing, honey. He's a very giving person. But he said, no! These are mine! And I had some thoughts that went through my mind, and it was this right here. First of all, Preston didn't understand that where these Skittles came from. First of all, I bought them. I earned that money that bought these Skittles. And what Preston didn't understand also was if I wanted to, I could take these from him. That I am bigger than he is. I don't care how big he gets. If his daddy buys him something and asks for it, he says no, his daddy will put his foot in his chest. And I will yank these things out of his hand just as quick as I gave it to him. He'll never be that big. And I want him to know that, you know, I'm big enough. If I wanted to, I could take these from him. Also, what he didn't realize was if I took the whole bag and ate them, it's okay. You know why? Because I could go back into the store and I could buy him 500 bags of Skittles. I could give him more Skittles than he could eat all year. And then he'd be like, great, my dad is the Skittles king. So Preston did not have this understanding. Instead, he said no. And it's the same way that you and I live our life when God asks us to bring of our offering, our tithe and our offering to him. Many times we're like, no. No, these are mine. I earned this. These are my Skittles. I worked hard this week, God. Man, a lot of sacrifice, of blood and sweat and tears went into these Skittles. These are my Skittles. God says, can I just have a few? And you're like, no. That's our nature as human beings. We're born that way. We see it in our children, and we're not naturally giving people most of the time. We don't find ourselves naturally wanting to give away all of our Skittles. And what we have to understand is this is the same response that we carry over spiritually into our lives many times when it comes to giving. And we're learning to break this. We're learning what it means. We're learning that blessing is being on the receiving end. What is blessing? Blessing is being on the receiving end of both the tangible and intangible favor of God. To be in the blessed spot in your life as you are on the receiving end of both the tangible and intangible favor of God. And that's where I long to be, is right here, spiritually in the zone, where I'm on the tangible and intangible favor of God. I long to be there, and I've lived there. I've also lived outside of there. I've also known what it is to live outside there, staring out. I know what it is to cross through it, slightly, stop, and then keep going. I know what it is to circle it. then I also know what it is to plant my feet here and say, God, you are in full control of my life. And so that's what we're striving for at Destiny Church this morning, is for you to understand that God has a blessed spot for you and your family to be in. And we want to, that's God's destiny for your life. That is God's destiny for your life, that you learn that God has a destiny for me, and it's not to live outside the zone, it's to be zoned in, not to be zoned out. But many of us walk out this door and we'll leave our life zoned out. We're looking in, but we're zoned out. We're not necessarily zoned in. God wants us zoned in, focused in upon Him and the Lordship of our lives. And when we do, we're learning to operate in a blessed part, the favor of God. Why don't you go ahead and bring that next slide up here? We're talking about this land of Ing. This is where you and I live most of the time, the land of the Ing, I-N-G. How many's ever lived in the land of the Ing? What is Ing? Some of you may ask. Some of you who wasn't here, Ing means what? It means owning, earning, clothing, bling bling. It means all those things. The land of the Ing. That's where you and I spend our life living most of the time, the land of the Ing. And what we have to realize through this series is that God is what? Who is God? God is the? He's the owner, and He is the blessor. Everybody say blessor. Don't you love those made-up words? Blessor. God is the blessor. So God is the blessor, and as I step into the middle of this gray area we call in the zone, I am doing what? I'm taking my ing, I bring it, my owning, my earning, my managing, my everything I have, I come and I bring it to God, and God does what? God, I give what I have to you. I give my ing to you. God, I give my owning to you. I give everything I have to you. My possessions, my heart, my soul, my time, my talent, my treasure. As I give everything to the blessor, He in return bless is me. And He puts His bless on my ing. And I become what? A blessing. And that's where I long for me to be. That's where I long for you to be, is a blessing to other people. We are called to make a positive impact with the gospel of Jesus Christ in this community. And how's that going to happen? By us just coming together and say, boy, it's a great service this morning. I felt the Spirit of God there. It was great worship. The pastor had a great message. But if we never change, then we're not going to make a difference. We make a difference when we say, God, everything I have belongs to you. My time, my talent, my treasure. Everything, my family, my children, my wife, my marriage, my job. I give everything full ownership over to you. I take my ing and you put your bless on it and I become a blessing to others. And I am longing to become a blessing. I'm striving to be there, and I learned that I can do a lot more with blessing other people when I'm in the zone. Then I live out here by myself in the land of Ingle. Brother, I believe I can bless other people just by being out here and just helping people out. I don't believe in giving my tithes to the local church because I can give it to other people who really need it a lot worse. And I say to you, you're not going to ever live in the fullness of the zone that God has for you, because He hasn't asked you to go out and give it to everybody else. That's not what He asked you to do. It's a time and place for that, but that comes after I give everything fully to Him first. After I say, God, you are Lord of my life. God, you are the owner. I am the manager. And when I live out here, I'm saying, God, I am the owner, and I'll tell you what to do with your money. I'll tell you what to do with the things I want to do. And so we put our pride and we put our selfish desires over what God wants. So when I come here, I'm saying, God, first and foremost, I'm going to give you what is yours. I'm going to give you my time, my talent, and my treasure. I'm going to give the things you have asked me to bring to you. They belong to you. They do not belong to me. They belong to you. And I am bringing my ing and putting it under the lordship of your bless, and I become a blessing. And I'm becoming a blessing to other people. And that's what we're longing for today. Malachi 3:10 says this. Let's read it together. Bring. Everybody say bring. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Everybody say test. Don't you like test? This is the only time in Scripture where God says to test him. Every other time, God says, do not test me. He says, don't test me. But in this particular point, when it comes to our money, when it comes to our giving, God says, it's okay. Test me. Test me in this. Matter of fact, God says, I dare you. God's up with a battery on his shoulder saying, I dare you. Knock it off. He said, test me in this. Don't you see? Test me. Look what it says here. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. He says to bring it. Why did he say bring it and not give it? Because I give what is mine. I bring what is his. It's a big difference between bringing and giving. And I'm called to give also. Well, Pastor, do you believe in supporting missionaries and church plants and Christian education and different things that go on in our community? Yes, we do, and we support them things. I support people locally. I have ministries that I support just because we want to do that, because God has laid it on my heart. And I am doing that by giving to them. I'm giving to them what God has laid on my heart. I do what's in my heart. He says, do what's on your heart. Give what's in your heart. He talks about us giving what's in our heart to do. As you see needs that come up, you help give and meet those needs. And God says, when you give that way, he says, what happens to that you plant that seed, you give, you bless them. He says, he takes that what you give, and he does what? He presses it. He shakes it together. It's pressed down, shaken together, running over. He says, 10, 20, 30, even 100 times, he'll repay that back to you as you give to him. But when he's talking about tithe and offering, he's talking about obedience. And when he says, bring me the tithe, he's not talking about you just giving to an outside organization, an outside parachurch ministry or an outside other ministry. He's talking about bringing a tithe into the local storehouse. Why is it? Because, listen, God longs to bless you so that you can bless this church, so this church can become a blessing to the community, to the surrounding communities, and to the nations. As you bless the church, we're blessing nations, we're blessing missionaries, we're blessing church plants, we're blessing other people, we're blessing different things in our community, we're giving away. So God is longing to bless you. That's how God uses the local church. He blesses you. You in obedience bring that tithe to the storehouse. In return, that goes back out to be a greater reach into the community. And so God is longing to bless the church through you. But there's a place he also wants to long to bring you. And we're talking about this. And you say, Pastor, why are you talking about money again? Because, well, I've never talked about money before. This is the first time. Last week and this week is the first time. Approximately 72 services that we've had have had here on Sunday mornings. I've preached approximately 72 times since we started the church. We just started the church. So I'm the only pastor the church has had. So 72 times. And this is the first time I've talked about money. And so if you're a guest this morning, we don't talk about money all the time. But money is an important part of who we are. It's everywhere. We're faced with it every day. We're going to spend money today. It costs money. Everything we do costs money, and how we manage our money. And money is an important deal to God. Matter of fact, we see that one out of every eight verses in the Bible have to do with money and stuff. Do you realize that? In the New Testament especially, you see one out of eight verses have to do with our material things. So God is concerned with our money. God is concerned with our material things. But Pastor, money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. You didn't read your Bible right. Money is not the root of all evil. He said the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. When you desire money, when you desire your ing more than you do him, when you desire your ing, that's when it becomes a root of all evil. When we're living out here in the land of the ing, this becomes the root of all evil, because I'm owning for me, I'm earning for me, I'm planning for me, I'm giving for me. And when I come to live in the zone, I'm saying, God, it's not about the ing, it's about you and you, Lord, of my life. And God, I'm trusting you that, God, I'm going to bring you what you've asked me to do. So why is this important? Because it goes with trust. What is a tithe? Let's identify what it is. Tithe is simply this. First, it's a 10% of our income. It's not a big death spiritual thing that we have to look up. We know this. It's a mathematical term that he used, 10%. Tithe means 10% of income and gain. Tithe is also the tangible witness that God is first in our life. When I bring my tithe to God, and I'm bringing my tithe to God, I'm saying, God, you are first in my life. It's me being obedient and saying, God, I'm bringing it to you. It becomes a tangible witness that people know and that I know, my family knows, that God, you are in control of my life. Why? Because my paycheck, what's it represent? It represents who I am. Your paycheck, the money you earn. I mean, you put a lot of hard work, and a lot of you work very hard and very long hours for your money, and you have worked hard and deserve every penny you get. And you have worked hard for that, and that represents who you are. So when you bring that tithe to God, you're saying, God, this is you. This belongs to you. You've asked me to bring you this. You've asked me to bring you the first of my fruits, the first of my earnings to you. And I'm bringing you a tithe, a 10% to you. And that's saying, God, you are Lord of my life. Now, we can come and praise him all day long and say he's Lord. I can go back to work tomorrow and talk to my guy and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. God is Lord of my life. But if I'm not obedient, we're just lip service. We're just being lip service. Let's be honest. We're just being lip service. How do you prove it? We test God in this. God is not only do we test God in this, God is testing you and I. God is testing you and I that we're learning to put him first and by being obedient by bringing our tithe and our offerings to him. And God talked about money more than he did so many things. He says he talked about money more than heaven or hell or faith or belief. I mean, God talked about money and stuff a lot in the Bible. So it's important that we take time to say, God, what do you have to say about our money today? And we're going to continue to do that as we identify what is a tithe. Also, a tithe is bringing a piece of yourself back to God. Bringing your piece of yourself back to God. And we're learning to do that. It's bringing back to God what is his. Deuteronomy 8:17-18. Here we are, and God's talking to the children of Israel, and they're getting ready to go and possess the land that God has given them. And he's talking to them, he's prophesying to them. He said, listen, when you go and you get to the land, the promised land, there's going to be overflow of so much things. You're going to have the best of the best. You're going to have milk and honey. You're going to have the best of gold and silver. Everything is going to be so much better there. And I'm going to supply your needs. You're going to have food running out your ears. You're going to have what you need in possessions. You're going to have great homes. You're going to have great families. He's saying all these things are going to be blessed. And he warns them, though, in verse 17 and 18. Look at what he says here. When you get to this blessing, you may say to yourself, my power and my strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But God cautioned them. He said, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So it confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers and is today. God has a place for you and I. I also want to read to you in Joshua 1:8. It says, it's this book of law. We don't have it on overhead today, so write this down. Listen to me today. Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Prosperous and good success. How many want to live your life, according to the Bible, prosperous and good success? I want to live there. That's learning to live in the sweet spot of success that God has for you and I. But the problem is we can be prosperous without being in good success. You say, Pastor, how's that possible? Turn on the TV today. You watch all these behind-the-scenes videos of the stars and football stars and movie stars and VH1's Behind the Music. You'll see all these people who have had stardom, who have had wealth beyond what they could ever imagine. And many of them have lost it all, and a lot of them still have it. But when you see the interviews, they are so down. I mean, they are so much addicted to their drugs and alcohol, and they talk about how they try to get out, and they come back to it because there's no escaping their personal demons, and they're losing their families. They've lost marriages after marriage. They've lost partners, and friendships have been severed, and they just are unhappy people. I mean, it's so unhappy. They have such tragic stories to tell, which goes to prove this, that you can be prosperous without having success. And I look at those people and say, you know what? They may be prosperous, more prosperous than I am, but I'm prosperous and I have great success. I have a happiness that they'll never experience, many of them. I have a relationship with God, first of all. I have a relationship with my wife. I have a relationship with my children, with you, my friends, my family. I mean, God has blessed me. I mean, I'm living in the zone. I am learning what it means to live in a zone, and it's a great place. It's a great place, and God is longing for you and I to live there. I'm going to ask those families to come this morning who are going to help me. You know, as a pastor, that many times you hear me talk about money and giving, and you say, Pastor, that's good. Do you give? I had someone ask me one time, do you give? I said, yes, you do. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you and tell you here and be transparent that the most, not the only, but some of the most faithful givers in this church are the pastoral staff. They give every week, and they are faithful in their tithes and their offerings. I didn't say they gave the most, but they are faithful in what they give and when they give. And they're learning what it means to live in the zone. So I'm not asking you to do anything that I wouldn't do. One time I had a person come up to me. I was writing my check out in the front row, and I had a young student come up. Probably, I think he's about 11 at the time. He said, psst, Pastor. I said, what? And he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm writing my tithe check out. He said, what are you doing that for? I said, what do you mean? He goes, why are you paying yourself for? That was this concept that I was paying myself by giving a tithe and offering. I'm not paying myself, but I'm bringing to God what belongs to God. And we do that here. And I've asked the Schallenbergs and also I've asked the Bruss to come up here this morning and just to assist me this morning. And many times you hear from me, and I wanted them to share their heart this morning. They are very faithful in their giving and their tithe and offerings. And I've seen God's hand a blessing on their life because of that. And I wanted just to do maybe just a short interview with you guys this morning and talk to you. You can grab these microphones there. Here you go. Make sure they're on. This is unrehearsed, and so whatever happens is going to happen here. We've barely talked about this. How many know your pastor trusts people when you don't? I trust him, okay? We'll see if I still trust him when we get done. No, I'm just playing. I do trust him very much. And they have been an integral part of our church since we have started Destiny Church and been faithful in their talents and treasures before the Lord. And I just want to ask you guys this question. And Brian or Lisa, one of you guys may want to go first. But how did you come to the decision to... Do you want to go first, Stephanie? Do you want to go first? Okay, if you want to go first, it's all right. But you know I like Lisa better than you. That's why I've asked her, okay? That's what she's thinking in her mind. He likes her better. He asked her. No. But I want to ask you guys maybe to think about the decision to come. How did you come to the decision as a family and as a husband and wife that you were going to honor God in your tithes and your offerings?
Well, Brian and I started off, and we moved away right after we got married, and we moved to Kansas City. Brian was a first-year teacher, and I was in school, and we had very little. And
less than that.
Yeah, McDonald's was a treat. But we started off with very little, but we knew that we had to give, and that's just what God asks us to do when we did. I remember growing up, I would see the tithe check on the coffee table every morning or every Saturday night, and went in my dad's pocket, and Sunday morning they gave. And that's just what, you know, we decided that we wanted for our family. We knew that to have all of God's blessings for our lives, we had to do that. And, you know, there have been times when, you know, things come up. We have bills just like everybody else. But that's just something that you have to make, you know, make a choice for your family to give, so that you can receive all of God's blessings in every part of your life.
You want me to go now?
Stephanie, you're welcome to go right now. Why don't you share? How'd you guys come to that decision?
I don't really think it was ever a decision. It was just something that we did. That's just something that you do. But yeah, we're just being obedient to the Lord and what the Word says. But I do know that, you know, yes, we did it and just kind of out of habit. But as we got married, or, you know, later on, we've been married for 7 years. So, you know, later when we got into house stuff and we really saw how giving helps. I mean, we saw the blessings come in more than probably what we would have when we were single. I mean,
let's go there a second. Talking about Brent, you got something you want to say first? Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, before we just did it, you know, kind of to do it that we thought we needed to do. But now it's like, you know, we want to do it. It's we do that first before we pay any bill. We make sure that, and then we always have, you know, plenty of money left over for all our bills. It's never a question on if we're ever going to get something paid. Because
do you feel like God's got the favor on his life because of that? Do you see the hand of God?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like my job situation. I was working at Leggett & Platt, went through school, got my degree, and I was working at Leggett, and I just had my resume on the internet, and I wasn't out seeking a job, but I got a call from a broker that wanted me to come work for him, so I did that. After I was there for a year, I got I was in one of the Walmart stores selling in some product to that store, taking care of my clients, a company, Hershey, one of the reps there came up to me and offered me a position with them that pretty much paid me double what I was making before. So, I mean, it's just, you can tell how his blessing is upon you.
So when you first started working, tithing, where were you working at then?
Vision Center at Walmart.
Vision Center at Walmart. He's working at Walmart. Nothing wrong working at Walmart. But God, and you were in college, right? So you're in college doing this. Stephanie, was you a hairdresser by then?
Yes.
So you just started being a hairdresser at that point, working in your booth and building up your clientele. And Brent has just started a job. He wanted to be in marketing and do his degree was sales and marketing. But he's just working in Walmart Vision Center. But yet he's honoring God at a young age. They're at a young age, so we can say, you know what? We're going to honor God and be obedient in this. And they're telling you the truth. They said we fully didn't understand even the ramifications of that. But we knew in our heart we were supposed to honor God in this way. And so I just wanted to share. I remember this, and you were telling me the story a while back, Stephanie, about how you guys decided you wanted to build another house when you got the job promotion. You're going to sell your house. And so did you even put your house up for sale with the realtor? What'd you do?
No, we actually put it up for sale because we thought it would take a while. And we did it by our owner. And it sold, three or four weeks? So, I mean, it sold really fast. We got the offer. We didn't have to go down any. I mean,
they put their house on the market without a realtor, for sale by owner, and it sells within 3 or 4 weeks for the price they were asking without ever having to come down. I'm talking about living in the zone. Stephanie, you guys were probably wanting another car. I wouldn't think about another car. You had a good car, but didn't somebody walk? I mean, I'm talking about living in the zone. She had someone walk into her work and say, whose car is it out there? It matches the trailer I have. I want that kind of car for my trailer. Can I buy this car from you?
Really?
I'm talking about learning to live in the zone. Yeah. And so, is that true?
Yeah, she came in and said, it was an older lady, then they have a mobile home, or like a motor home, and she said, I want it as a second car. We don't want to buy a brand new one. And I was in the middle of doing someone's hair. And she just walks in and says, whose car is that? She goes, do you want to sell it? And I said, no. I thought about it for a little bit. And then she went off. She was getting something done that day. And then when she got ready to leave, the whole time I was there, I was like, why not? You know, it's not every day that you get offered someone just to come buy your car. You know, so I was like, okay. So probably tops 2 weeks, she walks back in on a day that she wasn't supposed to. She told me she was coming on Friday. She came on Thursday. They drove it, came back. She said, how much? And wrote me a check. And I'm like, what?
I'm talking about living in the zone, okay? Listen, people, those things just don't happen. Those things just don't happen. But when you're obeying God and you're being obedient, you learn to live in the zone. There's a sweet spot of success I'm talking about where you can't explain it. You can't explain when people just come within a couple weeks and buy your house without trying to cheat you down. They give you the price you want. People walk in and say, whose car is that? I want to buy it. I'll write you a check right now. I mean, those things do not happen unless God is at work on your behalf. And that's what it means. You're saying, God, I'm trusting you. Now, and Stephanie's also got a promotion in her job. She's now managing the place that she works at. She's also managing a very successful salon there in Carthage. And she's moved up because God has favor on her life. She wasn't just a person who was cutting hair, but God gives her favor at a young age, and now she is managing the whole shop. And so God has got the favor of God on her life. And I believe, without a shadow of doubt, it has to do not just because of their abilities, because they have a lot of abilities, but there's a lot of people who have abilities out there. There's a lot of people who have a lot of talents. But when you bring your ing and give it to God, God blesses it, and you become a blessing to others. And in return, God's blessing you, and you're like, I don't know how this is happening, but this is God blessing my life. Brian and Lisa, I know you guys, when you decided to, Lisa, you know, to get a job, you needed a job change. Lisa had a job, and she was wanting a job where Brian is a school teacher, and so he was wanting to have a job where you guys could have more of the same schedule. And, of course, I know you can't be off all summer and play golf with Brian like he gets to do sometimes. But still, with children starting the family now and needing different hours, how did that work for you? Was you able to see God perform in your life?
I was working a hospital, and I worked holidays, and I just felt like I didn't have hardly any time at home. And Brian, of course, was off all the time.
Not all the time. Come on, Brian.
So I really wanted to be able to spend more time at home. And somebody just threw out the idea that they knew there was a job opening at Joplin Schools, and you know, there aren't very many of these positions that come along. And I just went for the interview thinking, oh, it won't work out, you know, the salary won't be the same, nothing, it won't work out, but I'll just go, and maybe in the future it'll work out sometime, and I'll kind of have the background. And I went, and it was great. It was everything that I was looking for. I didn't have to take a pay cut. I work like 180 some days out of the year, which is, you know, a much better deal for a working mom.
So let me stop you there. So you mean you didn't take a pay cut, and you got a job where you have days off, the holidays off, you have spring break off, you have Christmas vacation off, you have summers off, other than that, to do workshops and different things. But you have these things like a school teacher, and you can be at home with your kids.
That's
a lot
right.
of the times. You can also spend more time with your husband and family.
Yes.
But you didn't have to take a pay cut to do that.
No pay cut.
I'm talking about learning to live in the zone. Things happen for people who live in the zone. The favor of God becomes on your life when you live in the zone. Brian, maybe you can share. Let me ask you this question. What would you say to someone here today who was maybe thinking about tithing and maybe they're struggling with, can I make it? Should I wait? Can I do this? What would you say to them?
You know, I'm very fortunate in, you know, obviously I married up, but that's pretty clear. But my wife, you know, her and her family, they're just so disciplined, and you know, tithing came from her, not from me. And so, you know, it's important. That's what's great about having your spouse is there to help. But doing it from the beginning, it's so much easier, just like what Brent and Steph was saying. You know, when you start off, and that's just become a part of your budget, you know, and when you set that aside and you say, you know, just like your taxes get taken, they're automatically gone. You know, you don't get to fight that. you know, the same thing. You need to have that faith in the Lord and saying, you know, I'm going to go ahead and give this as well. You know, it's not getting taken from you. You know, you're not giving it to Gene. You're not, you know, it's not one of those things where, you know, I think it's wonderful that Gene, it's a little bit off, but, you know, he doesn't go around and preach, you know, we need your money. We need your money, you know, and he doesn't have to, you know, the Bible says that you are to give it. And that's all that we should need to know. But as far as giving it now and becoming a part of it, you know, it's just something that you have to say, you know, in my budget for my family, this is what I want. These are the blessings that I want. And, you know, he has it all. He's letting us use it for a little while we're here. And it's kind of nice. You can buy things and do other things with it. It's nice that he shares. But it's not ours, and that's important to say. You know, if Bill Gates said, "I will take care of you, whatever financial need you have, if you just give me 10% of your income every month, and if you want something, I'll pay for it." You know, we know he has all the money that he needs. Same thing with God; he has everything that we need. Mm-hmm. And if we are able to, you know, give him that 10% that belongs to him, and give that back, and with a faithful heart and a loving heart, and say, you know, and that's what's great about, you know, not passing the things around. I like being able to bring it up, because to me, you know, that's at least a nice time to say, you know, this is us saying thank you. Right. You know, we understand that you are blessing us. We understand that we're going to get more out of this than what we're giving. So please take this. You know, please, if this is all I can give for everything that we've had, you know, she didn't even tell you that, you know. First, she worked at St. John's, and then she a position came open at Freeman, working with pediatrics and with kids, and she hadn't done that a lot of that, and she was not crazy about the idea. She was just, you know, I don't know if that's where I want to go. It seems like a lot of work, and that position opened up. She wasn't crazy about it. She wasn't sure if that's what she wanted to do. You know, God laid that on her heart. You know, that's where we need to be, and if it wasn't for that, then the position at Joplin would have never been as easily to come to, because now she's working with kids that she got the experience with, and she does great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they would hire her just because she's awesome, but you know, God's definitely stepping out in front of us and saying, you know, I'm going to do what I can to make it easy on you and clear a way for you. So.
Right. And that's what's, you know, but the thing about it is there's a lot of awesome people in the world, isn't there? There's a lot of talented people in the world. These are some of them, but you know, there's a difference when you take your awesome, you take your talents, and you put them in the zone, and watch the favor of God work in your life. Brent and Steph, what would you guys say? When you guys want to talk, maybe about the somebody who was questioning whether or not I'm thinking about doing this, I'm waiting until I get my debt paid, or maybe I'm waiting to do this, or I'm struggling with the decision, I don't know if I can make it or not. What would you guys say to them?
I would say don't wait, because if you do it, you're gonna make all your, you know. Just like it says, test him. Just try it. See if it works. You know, because it will, and you won't be disappointed. That's, you know, like we just have so many testimonies up here, because that is the truth. We wouldn't be where we're at in our businesses today if it wasn't for that.
Right. And this morning, some of you are wondering, why, Pastor Jim, why did you use young couples for? You know, the tendency sometimes is to grab somebody who's older, who's been doing this all their life. And what we do is we'll sit down and go, that's great, man. You know what? I can't wait till I get to that point in my life where I can do that. And I want you to see, here's people who are young, in their 20s and 30s, who are learning what it means, young 30s. Okay, Lisa, don't.
30.
Oh, 30, okay.
30s. It's one of them.
I want you to see that, you know, we can all learn. We can all learn from those who are younger from us. And we can see that we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait until we're in our 45 and our kids are gone that we can begin to apply this to our life, because you'll miss out on so much that God has for you. You'll miss out. You'll live in the land of the ing. You'll struggle. But when you take your ing and put it there in the zone and say, God, you bless it. I become a blessing to others. And God is learning to bless them. And now they're becoming a blessing to other people. They are blessing so many people with their gifts and their talents. And I'm excited to see what the next 10 years holds for you guys as you guys continue to be faithful to God. Give them a hand this morning. I appreciate you guys so much. We'll get you guys a bag of Skittles after service today. Thank you. Let's read our last scriptures here. So bring up last slide up. Malachi 3:8 says, "Will a man rob God?" That's the question. Will a man rob God? You say, God, how have I robbed you? He says this. He says, you robbed me this way, in tithes and in offerings. when we don't bring to God what is his, we are robbing God. And I just want you to say to you today, if there's one person in the world that you don't want to rob, it's God. I don't want that on my resume. I don't want that hanging over my head that, God, I robbed you. That's an important thing in our life. I don't want that hanging over my head that, God, I robbed you. And that's what he says. How do we do this? In our tithes and our offerings. And it goes on to say this in verse 9 and 10. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe. Listen to what it says, the whole tithe. He didn't say bring 5% to here, then send 5% off to your television evangelist and send 3%. He says bring the whole tithe, the whole tithe. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, which is what? That's the local church he's talking about. It translates to local church. That there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Again, he says, test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I remember when we started the church my wife and I, we talked about it, and we decided to use our retirement to help start Destiny Church because we believed in it and we gave. And look around you today, you see the fruit. I mean, it's not just talking about monetary things. I'm talking about the fruit of what you give. The fruit of what you give. When we gave our retirement to it wasn't a great amount. Maybe to some people, to us, it was a great amount. And we gave that retirement to help us get started here at Destiny Church and to get some things we needed to get going. And it was a great offering to give it to the Lord. Besides just giving our tithes and our offerings, we brought that to God because we believe that, God, we just cannot give you. And we gave that personally because I believe in that so much. And I can tell you story after story after story about how you cannot outgive God. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Many of you are learning what it means to live in a zone. You're experiencing that. And if I could ask you to come up this morning, you could testify some of the same things that they have testified. Others of you, you're still struggling with this issue because you either, number one, you didn't realize it was a command of God. You thought people just did it because they wanted to. Or some of you want to do it, and you have good hearts about doing it, but you just struggle because it's tight. Man, the budget's tight. I mean, listen, I know with 5 kids, I know it can be tight many times. It can be tight, and budgets are tight, and it's so much. And it seems like everywhere you turn, somebody's always wanting your money, to turn to your money. And so I'm not asking for your money. I'm asking you to look at God and say, God, you are Lord of my life. Because God will supply our needs no matter what. God's going to supply our needs if I'm faithful. But you will miss out. You will miss out personally on the blessing that God has for you. And if you miss out personally, God can't use you to the fullness only in your own life, but also in this church. He can't bless the church to the fullest that he wants to because you are being disobedient. And so I'm learning to come back. I do not want my money cursed. We talked about this last week in illustration that I give 10% and I receive 90% back. I bring God 10%. Do you want to keep 100% and have it cursed, or do you want 90% that's going to be blessed? The question is yours. Do you want to live off 100% that's cursed, or do you want to live off 90% that's blessed? Because I guarantee you I can live a lot longer and a lot better off my 90% that's blessed than you could ever live when you're 100% that's cursed. That's the blessing of God, because I'm learning to put it in the hands of God. We're talking about giving today, and as we close today, many of you are making these decisions. I know last week some of you made decisions that you were going to tithe for the first time, and you've done that. Some of you I know are still praying about that in your spirit, and I say, test God. Just test him. That's all you got to do. Just test him. Because it's another form of you saying, God, you are Lord of my life. That's how we prove it. We bring it to him. God, this represents me, my family, who we are, what we own. I'm bringing it back to you. I bring the tithe to you. Also, we're talking about giving. And how many know it's such an important thing to give. I'm going to ask Gary to come this morning. And this morning, we're going to be doing something that I'm really excited about. We're going to be giving from our Uncle Church. Now, listen, Destiny Church, we're still considered a church plant. We're just barely at about a year and a half now, 15 to 16 months old. And there's a lot of things we need as a church. There's still a lot of things that we're needing to get done and need to do. There's some things we're needing to do. It's just always things when you're doing a church plant, there's always something that you need to get done. He can identify, right? But I believe God is going to meet those needs. I do believe that. And one of the ways we're going to do that is we're going to plant seed. Our church is going to plant seed because we're going to need not only finish out this building, our student wing, our office wing, some other things we're trying to finish out, our elementary area back here. We want to do it top-notch. We're going to need money to do that. We need money to do that. And so we're going to plant some seed today because I believe God has got so much more for it. Also, we're going to have to grow. We're going to have to get another building. We're going to have to, at some point down the future, we're going to be in a building project. We're going to acquire land. We're going to have to build. We're going to do things. And we're going to need God to bless us in a supernatural way when we do these things. And so I'm planting a seed now because I believe God is going to bring back a harvest. Number two, I believe the heart of God is church planting. I believe the very heart of God is church planting. We were a church plant. And look around you. Look at the people who God is touching. So many times through a church plant, because it's something new and you don't have a lot of things in the past that hold you back, many times you can come in, you can be free to minister to people's needs in a different way. And more people are saved through church plants than probably any of the churches that are going on, even churches that existed because of this excitement about a church plant, people inviting people to come, people coming, checking things out. And there's so many people that are saved and lives that are touched through church planting. And God asks us to do it. He asks us to do it. He asks us to plant churches. I believe every church should be a mother church. We should be mothering ministries. We should be mothering other churches at some point. We should be mothering other churches. Why should we grow and say, we're going to be a church of 1,000. We're going to be a church of 2,000 and hoard everything to ourselves. No, we're called to give. Why? Because he first gave to us. He first gave to us his son. And I'm so excited. This is such a, Pastor Gary has been a successful pastor. When I say successful, been faithful and has had great numbers, have come to his church off and on throughout the years. They've been doing this for years, pastoring in California and Arkansas, just planted a church in Arkansas and just has resigned that church and left a pastor there in his leadership, and that church is flourishing and doing great. And God has called him to Northwest Arkansas and going to be planting the new church there. He's already got some of his team here aligned with him, and they're here today. We're so glad you guys are here today, and we're going to pray with you before you leave this morning also. But today, as the ushers are passing out our cards today, we're going to pass out pledge cards, and I'm asking you to make a commitment for 1 year. I'm asking you to make a commitment for 1 year to the church plant. I want you to pray about it. And this is not your tithe. This is giving, okay? This is what I'm talking about, giving. This is giving. Whatever God lays on your heart to give, this is above your tithe and offering. And you're planting seeds. And God, we're giving to this because you've asked us to do it, because you want us to do it. I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm not going to beg you. But I'm hoping today that you realize the importance of church planting, the importance of supporting other ministries. And this is good ground. I know their background. I've been friends of ours for years, and we know who they are. We know their ministry. Listen, this is great, great investment. They're going to succeed. They're going to reach a lot of people, make a great difference. One of the fastest-growing communities. Tell us about your church plant today there in Northwest Arkansas.
Thanks, Pastor Gene. Everybody say Grace Life. That's the name of our church. And if you would read Romans chapter 12 and maybe do a little bit of a study on Romans chapter 12, you would understand how we came to the term Grace Life. Anybody in here believe in the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand, would you? Need to exercise by now. You believe in the Holy Spirit? You know, a lot of times we talk about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when you really begin to break it down and understand it deeper, the pneumatikos, the gifts of the Spirit, when it says that, it's really just talking about the gifts of God is through the Holy Spirit. The origination is through the Holy Spirit. But when you continue to study, you ever hear of a charismatic? Charismatic comes from a word called, it's charis, which is the gift or the grace of God. But charismata is the manifested grace of God from the Holy Spirit. If anyone's ever been a blessing to you, it's because the Holy Spirit deposited something in them that they ended up freely giving away to you. And when you were enjoyed being around them, or God just blessed you so much by the gift they've been to you, what you just really have done is you just received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the charismata, which we're believing the Lord is going to do greatly in our lives in Fayetteville. And I want just real quick, Nita, stand up. Would you come up here, just right up here. This is Nita, and she moved from Oregon to be a part of what we're doing in Fayetteville, felt like God called her to the South to help plant churches, and left a Foursquare church in Eugene to come do that. Tamara, come here. Tamara is actually one of the few people that live in Fayetteville that we've gotten, and I believe Tamara might be our first missionary. I'm saying that prophetically. And one of the three of you guys come. Lydia, her mom, Debbie, and her brother and uncle, Don. And they actually live there as well. They're being part of our church plant team. Lori moved here from Southern California to be part of what we're doing. Josh and Margo are actually the first people that we contacted and talked about. They live in Fayetteville as well, and they're going to serve in some ways. I can't go there, but then Russ and Jamie moved from Tulsa to be a part of what we're doing. And, of course, I'll refrain from doing what I want to do. I would love to tell you guys how God has given a grace in every one of their lives so that they would be a gift to people in Northwest Arkansas. My wife, Tammy, she's traveling today. But my emotion is because God has blessed us with some great people. And I believe we're going to be great givers. It's humbling this morning to come. It's not humiliating, and I'm just being very sincere. It's humbling to come, and Gene asking to bless us, because our desire is to be a blessing. And you know, some of you have received finances and things from other people, and you know what? That's a humbling thing. But I've said to other people for years, now I'm having to kind of try it on. It's a shoe I don't wear a lot. But if you can't receive, then your giving is a little bit hypocritical. Amen? You've got to be able to receive as well. And we receive so much from the Lord. God has been so good to us. And God willing, we're going to raise the quality of life in Northwest Arkansas by being the grace gifts to people that He puts in our path.
Amen. You believe that today? I believe Northwest Arkansas is what, one of the fastest growing communities?
Actually, for 3 years in a row, they said it's the fastest growing place in the United States per capita. It has slowed just a little bit, but they've been averaging 1,000 people a month for over 3 years growing up there. They project in the next 12 to 15 years, it'll be 1.2 to 1.5 million people. So what God's put in my heart is we are in the beginning of a city, and we want to get real well established in that city so that the urban and all that kind of stuff will be at a minimal. And there's some other people we've run across that have great hearts that we'll partner with in Northwest Arkansas as well. So we're glad to be there.
Amen. We're going to partner with them today, and I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads where you're at. I'm going to bow your heads where you're at, will you please? I know taking time to fill the card out today. Church planning is going to be who we are. I'm asking you to make a commitment for 1 year, and then at the end of that year, we'll come back and we'll maybe supporting another church. We may be planning our own church. We'll see what God leads us down the road. But I believe that this will be in the DNA of who we are, is planting churches and help planting churches. That's who God's called us to be. That's who God's called me as a pastor to do. That's what God's called Destiny Church to do, is to help other churches and to help plant and mother other churches. And they've been a blessing to our church. And I'm so privileged to have a chance to now that we can partner with them and be a blessing to their church also. Some of you are preparing an offering. If you'd like to give it today, if you'd like to do an offering today also, to help jumpstart this, you're more than welcome to do that. You can write a check out at the Destiny Church. We'll make sure to get them a check. Whatever you give today will be given 100% to them. But also, we're looking for the monthly support, not so much just, you know, a one-time band, but we're looking for monthly support also. You know, believe me, we want you to give as much as God lays in your heart today to give, but we're looking for that monthly support for the next year. So, Father, we pray right now, God, we ask you, God, what would you have us to do? That's what we're asking. What would you have us to give? God, our church is not about these four walls. It's not about just the people inside the church. But God, you've called us to make a difference in our community, in the surrounding communities, and in the nations, God. And this is another part of us being able to do this, God. As we adopt this church, Father, and want to give to them, plant seed into good ground, we know that you're going to bless it 100-fold. And Father, we believe that today. So God, speak to our hearts. What would you have us to give? Now help us to be obedient to that voice that you've spoken to our life. Whatever you dropped in our heart, God, help us to be obedient now, God, and we say yes to that in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, come forward this morning. You guys stay around the front here a second. They're going to be passing out the buckets here, and you can put your offering and cards in there. After they do that, I'm going to ask the staff to join me along the front here. We're going to pray for them as the congregation today is closing. We're going to pray for them. Staff, will you come and join me, please? You guys, to step forward just a little bit, would you please? Just step forward just a little bit. There you go. Here you go. We're excited today to give. I'll tell you, I'm excited to give to them because I know I know that God's going to honor this. Not only am I excited about what the fruit that's going to come out of Northwest Arkansas, Gary, but I'm also excited about what God's going to do here as we're learning to give out of ourselves, as we're learning to break this curse. Listen, I want to break the curse. I don't want my nation, my family, my church to live under a curse because of my disobedience. But I want to learn to walk out of that curse and see my life, my family, my children, myself, and you live in the zone that God has for you. It's time that we get zoned in and quit being zoned out. Amen. I'm going to invite you today, if you've given, I want you to stand up where you're at today. As you stand, stretch your hands this way. The staff, we're going to lay hands on them. We're going to bless them. We believe that God is going to support his anointing on them, give them favor where he's at. Come on, let's do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, Lord, we pray, Lord, for every person up here, every individual up here, God, right now, in the name of Jesus. For Pastor Gary and Tammy, God, and all the leaders that you're sending their way, God, we pray, Father, right now, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit, God, to go before them, God. Go before them, God, and make the way easy, God. Open the doors, God. You got the building they need. God, you got the givers they need. You got the families they need. Lord, there's a lost people there, God, who are coming there, God. They've been hung up on themselves. They've been burnt by religion. They've been burnt by people. And God, they're looking for answers. They're looking for someone to love them, Lord, in a real way. And Father, I pray that the love of Jesus Christ will flow out of this church, out of this ministry, and God, make a positive impact, Lord, in that region for you. God, I pray for favors of jobs for every person, Lord, who applies for the job they need. God, may you open that door easy. God, may their needs be supplied by you, God. And Father, may you send other families, other leaders, other worshipers, other musicians, other children's workers, other small group leaders, God, other pastors, other people, God, who are going to come, God, and who are going to anoint them, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, may they be anointed, God, of you. God, we commission them out, God, from this church as an adoption of us, God. May they carry out a transfer of our anointing here at Destiny Church, and God, may it be sevenfold upon them, God. May they grow even faster. May they grow even quicker, God, as they reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe that today, and we say, let it be done so in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We say amen and amen and amen. We bless God. Come on, let's bless God together. Father, we bless you. We thank you, God, what you're doing. We bless you, Father. We thank you, God, that you are doing something great, God, there in Northwest Arkansas. We want to be a part of that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Today, we love you so much. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Hug a neck before you leave. Give a high five and tell someone you look good. Get around, shake a few hands. We say God bless you. You guys have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night.